Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay.
I have it here, but I can't. This is my only copy. But I did.
You don't like that.
This is what I sent you. Okay, John. So
So do you want me to? Are you going to say his event reminder and stuff?
Hello.
Hello. We're switching it up apparently. Flip flop and stuff.
I'd like to call to order the June 8th work session of Midtown Borough Council. Will you all please rise and join in saying the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Public to be heard. No one? All right. Michelle, engineer's report.
First item is an update on this year's road program. The bids were sent out via PennBid on May 27th. They will be opened on June 30th at 10 o'clock. They were sent to over 1,000 contractors. And we know that 33 contractors have looked at it. There's also a box that they can check to tell us if they are going to bid on them. Nobody has checked that box yet, but we still have 3 weeks to go. I heard from one resident who, one resident along Lafayette Street who had a concrete apron to be replaced. He has asked us if he could replace more, if we could do more for him. So we went out and talked to him about it, got the exact quantity, told him the estimated cost to do it, and asked him to sign a letter that we wrote saying that he agrees to pay us. It's only an estimate. And he wrote back an email saying he has agreed to do it. So just to let you know that also. My second item is the 2022 intermunicipal agreement with Newtown Township. As we've been discussing for several months, Newtown Township has put in their bid the repaving of North Congress Street because the borough township line goes right down the center of North Congress Street. They put it in their bid, their bids were received, and we did something very similar to this last year, and for a cost of, I believe it is between $1,100 to $2,100. They have bid the entire work along North Congress Street. They will do the work and the borough will owe them that amount of money to do the bidding. And what we have estimated, we estimated that amount of work, if we bid it, if the borough bid it, to be about $24,000, $24,500. Their bid came in at $15,000. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a bit of savings for them to do it. Mm-hmm. So the intermunicipal agreement says that the borough agrees to have them bid it, that they're going to have their contractor do the work for a price of, like I said, $1,100, and there's an escalator clause in there too that can bring it up to $2,100. And I believe you'll be voting on that next week.
The embankment that begins at the end of the curves.
Mm-hmm.
And the embankment came out into the street. What are they doing about removing the trees that are about to fall down? making the embankment safe because it really needs to widen that area between the end of the curve and the beginning of the center.
They're not, that it was not part of their bid at all. It was just repaving it. Just base repair and repaving.
So the tree problem remains, but that's a township.
That is on the township side. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
That's all the items I had, unless somebody had other questions for me.
Thank you. So for those who don't usually come to our sessions, one of the things we do here is ask questions, make sure we all understand what it is, and then make a decision about whether it's ready to move to a vote at the regular council meeting. So does everyone agree that this is ready to move to a vote?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Susan, when we do that, there'll still be an opportunity for the public to discuss the matter at the final meeting. Where the voting will take place. So
absolutely.
The fact that we move it to the agenda is not a final determination.
Not at all. The public always has the right to come up before we take it.
I have an amendment to the agenda, but I was sort of waiting to see if anybody else went first. You know, mm-hmm. being polite and that one right before, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So if everyone started, but we're done with the engineer's report, I didn't want to make that vote.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to make an amendment to the agenda to discuss the application for Music on the Street. We have the applicant here, Pat Rusek, and so I'd like to make sure that we're good with that going forward for what next week.
Is that over John's?
Yeah. Yes. We've put up here a special event request.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Any other amendments? Our solicitor is stuck in a traffic jam right now, so we're going to skip that for the moment.
Do we have to vote on the amendment?
Yeah.
Not if we're not going to vote on the actual special event application.
Right.
Nothing official is happening.
Right. So
okay.
The music doesn't actually begin until July, and it'll be after the July council meeting. So
perfect.
So yes, and you can vote on it June 20th.
All right. Other agenda items proposed for vote at next week's council meeting. There is a Birdtown resolution up for vote. The township was part of the Audubon's Birdtown program. They have made some changes to the organization itself, which is causing a bit of confusion. But anyway, our Environmental Advisory Council has requested that we piggyback, it's probably not the right word, on the township and become part of their bird town. Obviously, the birds don't know where the boundary is between the new town. So that resolution will be up for vote. On Tuesday, if everyone agrees, questions, the information was in SharePile.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I do. I know some of us, including Amy and me, have applied for having our own yards be designated as bird friendly. So, okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is a discussion of the Human Relations Commission ordinance and complaint form. Amy, do you want to speak to that, or?
Yeah, I'm just going to make one little change. It's called inquiry form, not
okay.
Form.
Okay.
So, you'll bear with me, I want to make sure I do it justice, so I'm going to give a little background. So, the New Denver HRC was originally adopted by ordinance in October 2011. So, the current HRC, getting back to say a year, and I'm going to gesture a couple times because two of the commissioners are here. Work's been going on with this for quite some time, and there's been a lot of deep thought and exploration and education, and they reached out to lots of resources, both locally and at the state level, to learn all about best practices and the state of HRCs in Pennsylvania currently. So, with that in mind, they looked at our ordinance, and I'm going to read a little bit because I want to make sure I can do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
So after doing it, the things that they propose to do include becoming not only a reactive commission, but a proactive commission. And that requires some changes in language in the ordinance. So you can look at the current one that is on the e-code right now and see the differences, but I highlighted some of the language that cuts to the chase. So, where the current policy states, this chapter shall be deemed an exercise of the policy police power of the Newtown Borough for the protection of the public welfare, prosperity, health, and peace of the Newtown community. It will now continue stating, this HRC may, one, investigate and or mediate any conflict affecting the public welfare, prosperity, health, and peace of the Newtown community, and two, promote values of diversity, equity, and inclusion through educational programs. And this change is also reflected later in this version of the ordinance under 95-6A4, which states the HRC chairperson or designated commissioner will review the discrimination inquiry form for completeness and will contact the complainant to determine if any additional information is needed to complete the form or if explanation is needed about the discrimination inquiry process. An informal assessment can be made at this time to offer problem-solving, consultation, or mediation that can resolve the issue without foreclosure on or deterrence from the legal right and remedy prescribed in Chapter 95, Human Relations Commission. So those are the main purpose changes. Additional changes of note include the addition of two potential members from no fewer than three and no more than five members to having no more than seven members. And that's due to the handoff system that's required by how an inquiry and investigation are handled. You can't have multiple people looking at the same thing discussing it, as we've seen through fresh eyes. And the other thing is the addition of 95-6A2, which includes an email option for submitting a complaint and the addition of confidentiality measures. And once passed, the inquiry form should be edited to reflect the addition of an email possibility. Right now it's not. But there's just been a lot of very important and deep thinking on this, and I don't know, I'm just really impressed by it, what they've done, and how well it reflects, you know, how much everyone cares about the borough and keeping things fair and safe for everyone. So I don't know
if you summarized that beautifully. Thank you. Because it is a lot of bits and pieces, and we've done it over, I guess, the past year and a half. It's been quite some time. Jean was with us at one point, so it's been for a long period of time. We've been giving this a lot of thought.
Thank you. And I absolutely agree with Amy's comment, because it's spent a lot of time and a lot of thought on this, and I think it's better for that. So thank you. Any concerns about moving this forward to next week's agenda?
I think it's great. I mean, it what it allows for is a lot of different situations that might present itself there, personally. So it's giving you flexible. I think that's very well done.
And if we have additional members, we won't then contaminate the evidence chain. We'll be able to put in fresh people at different junctures. If we do the informal mediation conflict resolution, those individuals really should not continue on into the formal complaint investigation.
All right.
But we need help with members, please.
Thank you.
So is adding members, this is just a procedural question, is adding members part of the, do we have to address a different ordinance?
It's the same ordinance that we already were making the recommended changes in, and that's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so move us to a vote next week with the noted changes that we need to make. Nicole, I skipped over you, and I wanted to do a breather since you were in a traffic jam. Are you ready to do your report, or do you want to?
Yes, so actually, we don't have anything specific to report on tonight. Our report is in your packets. I'm happy to answer any questions, but other than that, I don't have any specific action items for this evening.
Thank you. Any questions for Nicole? All right, thank you. The next item is a discussion about the fire services agreement with the township. We've spoken about this a couple of times. We thought we were close, and now I think we're ready to vote next week. So just in summary, this agreement is something that's been being discussed for a couple of years, and it's been in the press a couple of times as well. So where we are now is that the borough would agree to pay the township for 2022 $147,155 in base compensation. And that number is based on the average of population, assessment value, and call volume. In addition to that, there's $7,210 contribution for their capital fund, which is purchase of a command vehicle. We have 5% per year automatic escalation of the base amount. And in addition, not to exceed 10% per year increase for services, should they add additional firefighters, and for capital expenses. We have agreed to join to form a joint fire services commission with 3 members from the borough, 2 from the township, the fire chief, the assistant fire chief, and 1 of the NFA board members. We have agreed that we will have a capital plan on or before September 1st of each year that we can review in time for our budget. What else?
If it goes above the 10%, that would be with the discussion and vote of everybody. At all, yeah.
Correct. And should we not come to agreement, we have a opt-out clause. This is a 3-year agreement, but we've agreed that we will have a review after 1 year because the chances of us having gotten it perfect the first time are pretty slim. So we do have that option after 1 year to revise it. What else, Tara? Anything else of substance?
I think that captures it.
Okay. So questions, comments, are we ready to move forward?
Is it public for the, is it, can that, is that made public for the community to see, residents to see, or?
The advice I've gotten is that it's not public until it's signed.
Okay.
Which is why I tried to summarize what it says so that people at least understand what it is. Any other comments or questions from council? How about the public? Questions, comments? Yes.
The amount, the 147, 155, that's yes. What was in the budget. Is that what I'm understanding, or was it more or less what was in the budget?
Slightly less. We had 150,000 in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah, we did 3 mils, so 3 mils doesn't add exactly out to the way the formula was created, the way it was
described. Okay. And does that include the 2% for the increase for the first year? So that would take it up, if I'm not mistaken, pretty close to that. Was there a 2% increase for the first year?
It's 5. So they have, for next year, not for the first year, no. We have the amount for this year, and then it's 5% next year. They have an automatic 3% annual raise increase.
That's what I meant.
And then there's a 2%, which is just sort of inflation, costs going up, that kind of thing.
But that is for the remainder of the 2 years here, the first year.
Correct, for the duration of the contract.
That's correct.
I think one of the pieces that it's more procedural, but that if once we've come to the end of this contract, we want to continue it, we can just vote each year to continue it so we don't have to request. Or we can request. We have both options. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public? Are we ready to move this for a vote next week?
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thank you. Just a little looks. The next one is adoption of Newtown Borough lease policies. This has been a while coming because there are 42 policies with various attachments and a couple of job descriptions. So it's taken a while for us to review them, as you might imagine. The one thing we did besides massaging these a bit is, on advice of council, we did a separate policy from the attorney because it was too complicated to hold into the general order here.
And those change, externally,
yes.
So that way we don't have to change this.
So the what we call the police committee has reviewed these with the chief, and we're comfortable that they're ready to go. Any comments, questions, concerns?
Chief, considering the recent attacks in Texas, this coming week I'm going to take a look at the contract, perhaps talk to you about how our rural responds just if something happens at one of the schools. Because down there, apparently, more than one police group, or however they describe themselves, were involved in this alleged massive miscommunications and decision making.
Right.
And in light of what happened, which could happen now anywhere, else, you know, perhaps you should take a relook at our policies to see if we're inclusive of addressing that kind of problems.
Right. If active shooter policy, we won't receive hearings. And we're all, you know, on the same boat with the action you just said, we all shoot that shooter training a month ago. But it was actually in a school with simulations where people were firing back at them and everything else. So we have received the training this year. You know, the waiting for the SWAT team to get there, that's like, that went out the window about a month. So they never show later on this particular instance. And, you know, we're trying not to wait.
We appreciate continuing review of our police department with these kinds of policies. But we'll take a look at it and maybe come in some questions next week. Just so our public knows that this is the number one priority is the safety of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And schools do Castle Rock has regular ALICE training too.
Right. And we have those. We would be assisting them.
Yeah, we'd be assisting them. But we have children coming through the borough to go home.
Mm-hmm. Right. But as far as the active shooter, we would be assisting.
Yeah. But thank you very much for double checking those things. Those policies didn't work.
And for all the work on the policies, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. There was a question about equipment. Do our police, or is it legal for our police to have AR-15s and
we do have
because I would hate to think of a situation where we're outgunned,
right,
as they say.
And actually, a lot of that did come through the active shooter training, like the lessons learned from Columbine, was the need to have rifles that can like shoot down long hallways of schools,
right,
and everything else. Whereas before that, it was like, you know, sort of the government with their pistols, and, you know, the SWAT teams would have the rifles, but the patrol officers respond, not, but now that was a lesson learned that you had to have a rifle. And at the very minimum, a shotgun with the, you know, the beanbag or the bullet round, the ball round as far as that goes. Yeah. So we do have those big shotguns. That would be good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Question, if I may.
Certainly.
You addressed the fraternity league. Is that be in conflict, or would that be in conjunction with what is in the contract?
When we modified the contract, to my recollection, working in, you were more involved than I, so you probably remember, we had advice from the solicitor about what to write in there,
right.
So this was a supplement to that, so they should be in sync.
So you have the Exhibit A, C Exhibit A, remember we took it out because,
right,
like the federal law, the state law is always changing on that, and that way we can be nimble without having to fix the whole thing.
So the policy reflect now the collective bargaining.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
But the policy covers like much more, as people, you know, it covers a lot. There is a lot in there. It's basically everything you know to be an officer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Amy, more friendly.
So there are a few things from Walk Friendly this week. One is that a generous community member who wishes to remain anonymous has donated 6 Sentinels, which are now called channeling devices, for placement throughout the borough. So
what are they called now?
Channelizing devices.
Okay, get that right. Calling their channels.
Yes, right. I get that.
Channelizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also in the same
category. So. So I was fortunate enough to speak with Scott Dangler today. That was a true fortune. And then also with our regional PennDOT traffic unit manager and learned that and established that Sentinels are only to be used during non-inclement season. So Scott, inclement, so they shouldn't be out.
Not
in
rain,
winter.
Rain,
no, in non-freezing inclement, so not winter. So Scott said that the way that they look at the roads as a winter season, the snow season is starting November 1st and ending April 1st. So these Sentinels would be recommended if all parties agree, including our emergency services, so that we make sure that they're placed in a way that does not impede passage of fire vehicles or police or emergency vehicles. But they would be out from April 1st to November 1st annually. The recommendations for where they are placed is based on data of where it's most effective plus best practices and some rules. And those would be at State and Green, State and Penn, Washington and Norwood, Washington and Chancellor, Washington and Congress, and Washington and Court. Washington Court
is a crosswalk.
Is a crosswalk, but it brings me to my second thing to discuss, which is council requested that Walk Friendly Newtown do an inventory of crosswalks and where parking signs are relative to crosswalks and the condition of the crosswalks. And that's a crosswalk that I think is something that should be discussed based upon what Walk Friendly Newtown found, which is, it's not an obvious place and it's not a, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, it's right before Rocco's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's not the best geographical delineation, but
because it's not a four-way day.
It's not a four-way stop. There is a controlled intersection to the east of it. I'm getting better.
West.
To the west, it's getting worse with that. I have to position myself. Look where my house is. That's west. You should see me doing this inventory. But so that would be the last. Those were the ones. So that was my first part, and my question for that is, to whom should the Sentinels be delivered, and how does that go about? What is the process?
They go in the garage, and then Scott will pick them up and put them out, and when he has the truck, and then he go back and put it back in the garage over the winter. That would be mine, unless anybody else has any other rules.
Just by the way, just
yes,
my
please.
Understanding is you cannot have the Sentinels at the signs in the same places for the regulation. So any place where we already have the signs, pedestrian crossing, we can't put Sentinels at those. The ones, the intersections or the marked crosswalks that don't have those signs can. So you would have the area that you're talking about, like Gordon, Washington, the State and Chancellor, those are all intersections that don't currently have the signs for pedestrian crossing. So we would have to put the Sentinels only at the intersection that don't already have the signs.
Is that a rural?
So
no, those are the state. But they would come recommend having both.
How did they get the wall to stick more street every place?
I can't speak for what another municipality does.
Yeah, in every study that I've looked at, when they show you what the municipalities have done, they have both the signs and the Sentinels.
Right. Now,
are we sure of that?
That's was always my understanding. That's okay. Had one or the other.
Can we go back and confirm that?
There are some places, well, even when you're talking about, you know, the one at Sycamore and 532, that's at a signalized intersection, and that's clearly stated here. So, like I said, I can't speak for what happens in another township, but it's always my understanding if one of the townships have the signs or the Sentinels, I can't have both at the same, but then it adds confusion as to, you know, too much signage at one particular spot. So.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm happy to do some research on that as well, because there are a host of studies that have been published on the use of Sentinels, and in every picture associated with any of the results of any of those studies, there are always signs.
Well, a lot of the ones on the second one, they don't also have the signs.
One of the resources that we have is LTAP. We have a couple of guys who've been here a couple of times who are super helpful. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I certainly have their contact information. They're probably faster at getting clear response I mean, doing research, obviously, it's okay, but
yeah.
But they're both very good.
What is that?
Oh, sorry, it's the Local Technical Assistance Program. It's part of
okay.
PennDOT.
Okay.
They've come and helped us look at signs before and also at signals and the timing and those kinds of things.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So to that point, I do actually have a communication from the Pennsylvania Statewide Bicycle and Pedestrian Coordinator who sent information about the use of pedestrian channelizing devices. There's a number on 101-6. And the guidelines were, it says, as a reminder, local enforcement is the responsibility of the local jurisdiction. When YTPCDs are in place, UBT236 must be followed when using pedestrian channelizing devices. And the guidelines are, shall be placed on the center line of a low speed roadway in a marked unsignalized crosswalk. So nothing with the traffic light. Shall not be positioned on a roadway with a speed limit greater than 35 miles per hour or with clear roadway width of less than 20 feet. So we're 25 throughout the borough, so right there. Shall not be used in locations where it will adversely affect the turning radius of motor vehicles, and which brings in our emergency vehicles, and are to be placed on roadway center lines within 50 feet of crosswalks to remind all users that they are to obey state law and yield pedestrians to those crosswalks. So I don't know if there's more to it than what was in here, so that's something we should definitely look at, but are we okay with the positioning of sentinels as it adheres to the needs of all parties involved in that placement? Okay, so if the sentinels are delivered here, they can be put in the garage and then they can be placed once. My question is, when is it decided where they're placed and then who gives the thumbs up to place them?
So can you repeat again where they were? I didn't get them all written down yet. State and Green, State and Penn, State and Chancellor? Is that right?
No. Washington and Norwood, Washington and Chancellor, Washington and Congress, basically driving through Washington. And then Washington and Court, if that is deemed a good location.
Yeah, and if not there, then Washington and Liberty. Because I have the same concern that maybe as we have three crosswalks that are sort of partially crosswalks at Court and Liberty, at Washington and Court, Washington and Liberty, there are no signs. On Green out here in State, there's one sign, which I don't know. And the thought is that the crosswalk at Court in Washington probably should be there, and the effort should be focused on making Washington and Liberty a real crosswalk, with signs and sentinel and something that, because we got some sort of partial crosswalks, right? Either on street, but no signage, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not perfect. So I was going around trying to visualize it.
Yeah, that's.
Which brings me to another topic. That is, as you're coming into town on Washington, there is a brick pavement, I'm going to call it a path, for lack of.
Which end of Washington?
Near the cemetery, from the Toll Brothers.
Eastern.
That's in the township, right?
It's in the township. We know that, to me, that's not a crosswalk. And the lady who gave me signage when she was trying to, when I was coming up the street and she was trying to cross the bicycle, she abruptly stopped and then she waved in a particular manner. That is not marked as a crosswalk. The street is not marked as a crosswalk.
Yeah.
And we know that when they built Sycamore, they didn't paint the crosswalks. And we have death in that situation. So I'm not sure how we should communicate to the township that there's that there's another serious, because people are at a fast rate going there, and then they abruptly have to get to the end of the cemetery, the gas station, they have a 25 mile an hour sign. They're rolling through that particular crosswalk.
So to me, if we could
communicate to the township,
that's a potential. About Elm Street? They were
no, farther up. It's farther up.
I'm happy to give John back.
You know where it is? It's at Terra Street of all places.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not that it was
no,
named,
no,
you had
yeah,
this discussion
know,
named after you, but,
yeah.
But you know exactly
yeah,
where it is. It's right at a crest.
I know exactly where it is, and the township actually made the decision on Sycamore because I was in the meeting to take all those decorative crosswalks,
yes,
which is what that is, and turn them into real crosswalks with piano key stripes.
Yes.
Why they didn't do that one, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to make a call.
If you could do that, because it is a potential danger.
Yeah,
that I personally experienced, and people get mad because the traffic's going through there and it's not a crosswalk.
Yeah.
So I just have to say this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be marked to be a legal crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them all over town. If there is like at the end of Mercer,
right,
going across State Street,
yeah,
that's legal. Even though
it's an unmarked sidewalk.
So we have to be,
yeah,
careful about how we define crosswalks. Being marked is not.
It's not marked
danger.
As a.
All right. But in terms of the ones we have
I'll
control
make
over.
Considering we met and they described to us how to paint the layers and the blocks and all that stuff, why the PennDOT allow them to do that about painting?
I'll make a call.
Is
a
mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Amy, back to your question about what we do next. Yes,
yes.
Scott is the one who put them out. And I think we just need to verify if the locations that we're suggesting are okay or not. And again, I think you've got resources. The two guys who sent this statement moment at LTAP are very responsive, very helpful. So,
okay, so we'll check with LTAP about the signage thing.
Jerry, you said if there are already crosswalk markings, that's where they should
so
not be.
So, what we're away from it is the they're not like right at the signage, they're what we're saying, what was the same.
Yeah,
the
before, yeah,
and that might then qualify for not being at the same spot.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
right.
And all,
okay,
the data would recommend within 20 feet is what the studies say. Mm-hmm. That's between, at the edge of the crosswalk, 20 feet out from the edge of the crosswalk is the place you have the greatest impact on the drivers. So,
if you count 413, the George School, where they have an accident, there is a preemptive warning crosswalk ahead sign. So there is a model that you can use that's right up the
street. Yeah, great. Thank you. And you need to say that.
So it says, are to be placed on roadway center lines within 50 feet of crosswalks.
Within 50 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you. Yeah.
So that's.
I guess that might get it off the qualification. They're not the same. That's what it works.
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely.
But so.
Volunteers. So all of that is from and so it's value places. That's great.
In placing signs, we have to be very mindful of the any trees that we need to have trimmed because
we're getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
segue.
Yes.
Segue.
Nice, Bob. Thanks.
All right, take it away, Amy.
Yes.
A quick question, if you don't mind. Did anyone consider in the middle of State Street because it's a long block and everybody basically jaywalks, that maybe there would be a possibility of putting a crosswalk somewhere in the middle.
Those are they're signal-wise?
I'm sorry.
No, she's talking about in between Washington and Center.
Correct.
I talked to the people at LTAP about that a couple of times, and the answer that I got twice is that PennDOT won't allow it.
Okay.
We can try again.
We have a workaround, which is to get businesses on State Street and Sycamore to put these stickers in their windows, which is urging people to use crosswalks. So those will be out by the end of June. So we're hoping that makes a big difference. But of course, you know, most people get out of their cars at this cross, but you know, first steps. So we've thought about that for sure.
Okay. Maybe we can help adopt that for the music, because I'm sure that's
let's talk. Yeah,
exactly.
So, and if you want to hear this, yeah. So, speaking of hearing things and crosswalks,
trees in the right of
just right there, right next to the sign that's next to the road. So, that would be right away. So, council requested that walk from the Newtown inventory the crosswalks and obscured signs. We did not look at obscured parking signs because we were looking at pedestrian vehicular flow. And you will find that on the third page of your packet with recommendations, locations, and type of sign. When it comes to the tree trimming, I can tell you we divvied up the borough. And for the parts that I looked at, it's really a matter of trimming a branch. Like, we're not talking major
like 2 feet to
tree them. Work. It's like, you know, the part that hangs over the most is obscuring the sign. It's not like the tree is too close to it. It's not like there's a giant branch. It's minimal work. So there's recommendations for that. And then we also looked at the crosswalks and the condition of crosswalks.
Can we stand on a tree?
Sure.
Okay. And invite you to the next shade tree commission, because any trimming contract that we put out should be in coordination with the planning stage, so that this would be the template for bid for trimming those trees. Because we would want to do all at once.
Right? That's a question for council. I don't know the answer to that.
That's
really what we're kind of getting to with these recommendations, is then to find out what the next steps are, who does it, when that happens.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's a recommendation to trim these trees, so
yep.
The signs make sense, where they are.
So you can see them.
Well, in order to get them trimmed, we're going to have to go to the shade tree commission. So why don't we invite you to discuss that at the next meeting and come up with a proposal for council?
You're absolutely welcome to go. I'm not sure that Amy needs to go. You've got the list right here. So it's easy enough to see them.
Okay.
Up to you here. Okay, crosswalk. So the crosswalks, there are recommendations for repainting and repairing. And I talked to Scott today about the crosswalks, and he explained to me about the thermoplast ones and ordering the paint and glass itself. He said all of them can be repainted. That doesn't mean the thermoplast would be redone, but all of them can take paint. And he just said that he likes to do them over the summer when school gets out. School gets out next week, so it's a very timely conversation. You can see the locations on the last page, at least. And that leads into the question of, so what does happen? That's the information. What now?
So I want to be clear that I understand the information. This clearly is not all of the crosswalks in the borough.
Correct. Right.
And these are the ones that we believe need to be worked on this year, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that either by virtue of traffic have become, you know, very light, hard to see, the black showing through, and the ones where there are repair issues in the crosswalk as well.
So, and I think, Don, I think it's important that we point out that this list obviously doesn't include the crosswalks that don't exist,
yeah,
but we think should. Like all of South Chancellor, no crosswalks. Chancellor and Penn, no crosswalks. Chancellor and Center, no crosswalks. Chancellor and Swift. So this doesn't include, we would like to have crosswalks. That's a whole separate discussion.
So, yeah, these aren't new crosswalks. Right.
So, just to be clear, in order to add a crosswalk, you have to have a traffic study. And we have requested a grant to be able to do that. But yeah, we can't just
get out there with our paintbrushes.
That's part of the next steps, right? Yeah. Like the what next step.
And so in terms of these, this is just a matter of Tara and I telling Scott to paint them. Because we ordered the paint. I'm actually not sure if it's in yet. We ordered enough paint to do all of them, not believing that we would need to do all of them. And so just giving him this list of this is what you need to do, that's
it's that simple. So Scott from Newtown saying that some of the crosswalks don't need to be repainted, is that right?
Some of them look like they were repainted very recently. So mm-hmm. if I take the one that's at the corner of Jefferson and Chancellor by Pickering, those look like they were repainted very recently. Same with, I think it's Chancellor and Washington, all four of those look very new. I mean, if somebody wants to repaint them, they can, but they're not in the same condition as what's on that list.
I think those were done last year when they put in all the ADA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
they're new.
Well, let me give you a little review when I was supervising that last year. When we got the invoice, we did not get a list of what was painted. And then we began to investigate what was done and what's not.
So
then we were later given an explanation that certain ones were not done because the requisite paint was not available.
But I'm not sure this is pertinent to this.
No, but we didn't paint, quote, we didn't paint last year a certain crosswalk because of the unavailability of materials. Now, if those particular crosswalks have to be painted with the heated paint, I'm not sure that putting this other type of paint makes any sense.
We've got
Scott
that.
Said it was,
yeah,
he's got
everything
he needs today.
He
said it was fine.
We have to treat it, but yes, we can do it.
Right.
So this goes back to my contention for a very long time that we don't need to paint every crosswalk every year. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
And if we need to for safety, we need to do it, which is why we asked you guys to take a look at it.
Yeah.
But this is a great list, so thank you.
And
that's
thank you for
helpful.
Taking the time.
I
do want to make a really clear council that other than, well, last year we didn't have a thorough list, and then in 2020 we weren't sure where the budget was going, and council made the decision to not do a crosswalk. But other than that, we have always every year done the crosswalk. So if we this is what we do, council is making the decision to change that and start skipping crosswalks. And that means they would go maybe 2 years or 3 years, whatever, without being done. So I just want everybody to be aware of that.
We actually already made that decision 2 years ago when we did it. And last year.
Right, that was unusual. I would say that COVID, not knowing, you know, which after the lockdown with the pandemic and not knowing where our finances were, that was the reason for that decision.
It absolutely was not in my mind. I didn't think they needed to be done. So, anyway.
In order to monitor expenses, we have to understand what our vendors are doing. That's why we need details.
But that's different from the decision of what gets done.
No,
so,
but when it's not done.
People, we're off topic. So can I go back to the note at the bottom about yellow curb sections? My
yes.
understanding.
You are correct on your
understanding. She's read your mind. Is that we stopped painting those yellow on purpose. But
so
that was before
decision.
I did the council.
So the deal with yellow curbs, are they optional? It's not a law. So
they're not enforceable, right, Chief?
I'm sorry.
Somebody parks in the yellow spot, that's not a violation.
In the yellow spot? No.
Yes.
There could be other violations.
Other violations, but the mere fact of a yellow curb does not make a violation, which is enforceable.
But if it corresponds with a no parking.
The yellow is demarking where a crosswalk would be, you can't park within 20 feet.
That's right.
So typically, so somebody could be cited for parking within the 20 feet crosswalk, and those yellow markings are to delineate where that 20 feet.
Yes, but that was just a note, so I didn't know what the guidelines on yellow curbs were, so just a note.
I learned today, so I'm going to share it. So the yellow curbs are more of a signifier, they're not a rule. It's an option whether or not the borough wants to do that or not, and it varies from municipality to municipality. We have them, they're fading, so it's really just a decision whether or not.
The one I think it is most important is the fire truck turning stripe, and that's signed, so that is you'll get a ticket if you park there. But that's one that the people really need to see. That's important for people not to park there so that they have their turn.
Yeah, I think you could even specify what areas of town that you hadn't need to do it borough wide, but you could do it in areas where you know it's a problem with people parking too close to, because when people see a yellow curb, whether or not they know what the rule is or the significance of one is. They read it as I can't park here.
Can we put like
and there are signs up too. The
yeah.
sign is the
yeah, they,
sign
they
is
go
the
together.
Law.
The two of them together would be
so that's the recommendation, but it has to be a decision that's
can we
that's
put
it.
Like a bright fluorescent beeping light at front of Starbucks where everybody parks?
I'm gonna put them everywhere.
Oh God, that's horrible. Right in front of Starbucks. I don't
we're gonna get our own yellow
oh
orange cones
God.
And just go around.
So
that's,
did we ever do that science check? And I talked about this before
right.
because it says no parking,
we started citing people for standing, and standing is what we're having. You're not allowed to stand within 20 feet of the intersection or 20 feet of crosswalk. So standing is when you're parked there, your driver sits in there, and somebody runs in.
To get
so that's a violation. We've been citing people for that violation. So
why don't they just go in the back?
Put that
they
sign up there,
back.
But it's automatic. You're not allowed to stand within 20 feet of that crosswalk.
Because it's really dangerous when you're trying to, if you're coming up and trying
to make a wide turn to go.
It happens all the time. It's a lot.
As far as Amy's, as far as the yellow markings, and this is something that's really widely misunderstood. The fact that not allowed to park in 20 feet, 30 feet of the stop sign, 20 feet of the crosswalk. So anything that would like alert drivers that you're in that danger zone or you're within that zone would help.
in front of Starbucks, it's really just going to be, we have to ticket them because people don't care. Right. They know you can't park there.
Oh,
that's why they say
oh,
the park.
Yell
us. Yeah.
We can yell that all the time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's
our. Yeah. So people care about these issues, and that's great. Oh, yeah. And so those are the recommendations made from Walk Friendly Newtown. Additionally, the Walk Friendly assessment will be submitted to the Walk Friendly and National Organization this month for hopeful audit. And magnets and stickers will start being distributed in the next couple of days. If anybody here would like magnets, would like to distribute our magnets, here's your gal. And the stickers will be in business windows, encouraging people to use the crosswalks and not cut across the middle of State Street.
So that's great. That's awesome.
Just one pitch, and I have no idea what the cycle time of the Shade Tree Commission is, but the pitch would be the sooner we can trim around the signs that are obscured, the better. Because right now there are crosswalk signs and stop signs in the keys. So for every day that goes on, there's a risk of an accident that otherwise might not happen.
Can you just make that pitch.
Can I send it to you?
Yeah, so then I'll send it to the members.
Thank you.
Because we'll jump on it ahead of time.
Right. No, thank you. That's
because we're doing this tree survey currently, so we're doing a bunch of stuff. So this would just be let's get this done too.
Perfect.
Thank you very much for your work.
I do want to put it on the record, since this is not a vote and I'm not part of the decision-making process, that we have always painted all the crosswalks as part of routine maintenance and safety. And so I do believe that's something we should continue to do. So I have no decision over this, so, but I do want to put that on the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess that's personal opinion. I don't know if I should represent Walk Friendly, but this was really a use of resources question from a Walk Friendly perspective. We're not arguing against painting all the crosswalks. It really is use of resources. And if council came to the conclusion that all the crosswalks should be painted, that certainly meets the needs that we found on our inventory and survey. We were just perhaps suggesting that some of those resources might be put to a better use than painting crosswalks that are currently.
Yeah, and we would never paint something that just been put in as far as the prior road program.
So okay. Yeah, no, we're not arguing against more crosswalks being painted. It was just the use of resources.
All right. Obviously, John Burke is not with us tonight, so Emily is going to do the mayor's report.
Sure. So these are the special event requests we have to, I guess we still have to vote on them, right, at the June 14th meeting, or at least
yes,
review?
We do.
Okay.
We do.
So then these are the ones that we'll vote on next week, and the applications are in the share file. So the first one is the Open Air Car Show on State Street, sponsored by the Newtown Business Association on Sunday, August 28th, 2022, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The rain date is September 11th, 2022. So that's the first one. And I don't think that there's anybody here to talk about that one.
Okay.
The second one is Newtown Beer Fest, sponsored by the Newtown Fire Association on Saturday, September 17th, 2022, from 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. No rain date. Anyone here would like to see that one?
Same thing we do the one, so that's by far our largest fundraiser, actually $47,000.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So there's a deal.
Awesome.
Chief,
and then,
Chief, when we have those closing of the streets, do we require additional policemen to monitor traffic?
We do have additional, we have a lot of policemen working that particular with that, just for the body of people that are attending, as well as a few of the road workers. There's not a lot of road workers on all the time. Basically, just Chancellor, between Sterling, and Straight are dealing with this.
Okay. And then, Tara, did you want to talk about music on the street since you added it to the agenda?
I think everybody will have received the application, but just this week, not last week, because Kathy got it in. And you may recall in other years when in the summer they had a weekly entertainer on under a canopy, and it was a way to bring footfall in and have something to, you know, keep people in, and it's good for the businesses and it's good for creating a vibrant downtown. So Kathy's here today, so she can talk to you about that.
And I'll just read the, Judy just gave me the information, so I can just read it really quick so we have it on the record. Okay, Music on State Street, sponsored by the Newtown Historic Association / Newtown Experience Committee. On Tuesday evenings from July 12, 2022 through August 30th, 2022, from 6 to 8 p.m. at 16th South Straight Street, no rain date.
Basically, we're just doing everything that was done before. On the sidewalk, we'll still be walk area. No one's supposed to be on the street or crossing the street. We had talked to the chief, and we're going to also try to assist and not have him just be the only person yelling at people.
I love yelling at people.
I told him I would just look at them, and I think the other, yeah. I have that mom look, so I think usually are all good. But there is each, what basically we're trying to do is just find sponsors for each musician. It's not necessarily coming from the shops, because what I have found, and actually what I've heard through grapevines and all the above, is who actually really enjoys this and who has actually been asking for it is actually the community, you know, the town. So we're not bringing usually anybody out of town from in. I mean, obviously, if there are patients or someone, you know, they're all welcome. I'm not saying it that way, but you know, but for the most part, this is a community event.
Like a lot of residents show up.
A lot of residents.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that is actually the only reason we want to do it, is because it's well received in the past. And obviously now it becomes funds, but so anyone can sponsor,
We loved going to it. And at one point, were you talking about putting it back by Isaacs? Did I hear that at one point? Was there a conversation about that?
I did not, but I don't know.
So okay. Yeah.
I had made that proposal before I went off as mayor.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Mayor. Looking at it back there,
okay,
in that area in regards to possibly coordinating that off for 2 hours or whatever it was, but that never went anywhere.
Okay.
It's not anything. That was just a suggestion that I threw out.
Was in my back.
So I remember that too.
Okay.
What's the proposed location?
16th South Street,
kind of right next to DSW, right there, where it was before.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Do we have a problem with the barricaded area by the building?
That's like four places down.
So the answer is no.
Yes.
We don't have a problem.
No.
Okay.
Yes. No.
Because that's still under investigation. The barrier is still in the state.
Yep. Where
it's
it actually is, it's a bigger, wider area. So.
Where Standing House was.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have those businesses consented to those?
Yes.
Blockage?
Yep.
It's very nice. We used to go all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
And speaking with Chief, he was just saying barriers, like maybe putting one, right?
Well,
like,
typically what we did last year is we put two barricades blocking up the two parking spots, especially in front of the building, to allow some people that overflow so the sidewalks are not completely blocked. Like Kathy related, our biggest issue was people just wandering back and forth across the street. It wasn't about like hurting cats, Kathy's promise. So I'm going to be more mindful, and the mother and her is going to come out and say, I want to hear you.
Chief, can we put orange cones on the middle line on State Street? Because last year when I asked for some traffic control in Washington for Halloween, you just put up some orange cones, and man, that worked. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that might deter people from crossing. Yeah, but they might look at the orange cone and be like, okay, maybe I shouldn't, you know? Okay, that's good. Okay, so these are special event announcements for things already approved and or sponsored by the borough. Movies in the Park, sponsored by the Newtown Borough Recreation Board, from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at Linton Memorial Park. Showing is Encanto on June 15th, Jungle Cruise on June 29th, and Matilda on July 13th, no rain dates. And then Welcome Day, sponsored by the Newtown Business Association, will be on Sunday, June 26th. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sycamore Street in Newtown Township.
As for the movies, when does the rec board decide not to cancel? Because last year we had a couple storms that came through, and everything was ready to go. We were all down there, and then the big black cloud came. So in terms of who makes decisions to shut it down?
I mean, in the summer, it's hard because, you know, you can have a storm come out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
So I would assume if the weather the day before is looking to be really, really bad.
Here's my question. Who makes the call?
I have no idea.
I know Nicole used to always put stuff
Nicole
on Facebook.
And I would always,
yeah.
Okay.
And she would say even like at 4, we'll let you know on Facebook, you would say we'll let you know by 6 or whatever.
I would certainly
yeah.
think that the co-chairs of the rec board have that at the forefront of their minds. And of course, if anybody is concerned, they can always call or send an email and say, hey, is this a great idea?
And you put it on there.
Yeah. They have a Facebook page. They have an Instagram now. They have an email list now. They have a whole thing they did through Google Workspace. So website.
Because of our experience from last year where we had
a lot of storms.
I mean, we had shut it down real fast because of the lightning.
Last year was not a good year with weather.
So we want it to happen. I just want to make sure that it's,
yeah.
that there's a danger that we could react to.
Thank you.
And we weren't taking any chances.
No,
we
didn't.
Lightning anywhere,
yeah.
we shut it down.
Yeah. And Nicole was there.
Thank you. Chief Forsyth.
Good evening. How are you?
Good,
the numbers that you see that I'm going to tell you are different than the numbers on the report because every morning before I come here, I do an audit. And as Michelle will tell you, I usually find errors, so I apologize. I'll make sure you need this copy. For the month of May, we had 104 calls for service. We had 84 fire safety inspections in the township and 10 in the borough. The 104 calls, we responded to 4 calls to assist the SWAT, 22 alarm systems, 56 EMS calls, 5 building fires, 2 investigations, 2 wires calls, 1 marine rescue in Tyler State Park, 2 auto extra stations, 5 traffic accidents, 5 dwelling fires. So that's our report. I'll send the updated numbers to you tomorrow so that you guys have the accurate. Thank you
yeah.
for the Beer Fest, as Warren said, that's our biggest fundraiser. September 17th, come out and have a beer with us. Susan keeps saying that once we get this fire service agreement done, we're going to go have a beer. So that may be a great time to do it.
Chief, for us, we don't partake because of medical reasons. Harry had a great shirt for the volunteers, which said, can I take you home tonight?
I like that.
So for the designated drivers in the world, you know, maybe we can reinstitute the, can I take you home tonight?
The other thing I just want to say is you'll see yard signs popping up. We have started our recruitment program for the animal recruiting program that we set up. If anyone is interested in becoming a firefighter, we will train you. We will send you to schools. We'll pay for everything. If you know anyone, please have them stop by the firehouse if we want to have you. Our numbers are decreasing rapidly. Unfortunately, we're getting older, so a lot of our people are retiring. We're all volunteers. Of course, I'm a volunteer after 4:30 in the afternoon, but if anybody is interested, I always do want that.
Do you need yards for signs?
We can always use.
Okay. Can I stop by and get one from the firehouse? Or?
I don't think we have them yet.
We
don't have them yet, but as soon as we get them,
I'll get them. Okay.
Thank you.
Chief, I want to thank the fire companies who attended the Keller funeral on Friday. Charlie Ross's wife, Chris. Charlie, for a long time, was a volunteer and paid the bills on Sunday morning. And I really felt the warmth of, what an expression, felt the warmth of the fire company. For coming out and supporting that particular family. You did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The police department in May handled 210 calls for service. We really advertised as much as we could. We did have a pedestrian safety enforcement wave, which was very beneficial. We issued a total of 62 citations for the month. The most common violation was for failing to yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk. We didn't have quite as many violations as we were anticipating. We had decoys going out in the middle of the road and to see if people were stopping for them. But the violations that we did have, they were plate violations to the point where you could practically touch the cars as they're coming by, you as you're going through the crosswalk.
We had a particular individual we arrested a couple times, once for being drunk on a bench, and another time for yelling at a business owner on State Street. I do have one question. He was also sleeping in the Commons. What is that? Is that ours, Julia?
The common.
Yeah. Okay, so that is our park. We assumed it was, and we told him to get out. And he said, no, this is the common area. This belongs to the world.
Oh, it's called the Commons.
Okay. Like, this is a common, you know, this was deeded to Penn as a common area for anybody to come. And we said it was BS. I just want to clarify this. We did tell him it was time to move on. Was that? He did not bring a cow.
Yeah, he did not bring a
cow. Oh, is that for me?
For water. It's a spring lot.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. But my office did have a clarification. I said I would get it from
all
you.
All of the park rules apply on the waters.
And that's what my office.
Yeah.
We did make an arrest of our arsonist from State Street. You've got it all the way down to Louisiana near Texas. Was picked up down there. Our officers in the sheriff's office worked on the extradition of getting back up here. And he's now Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In lieu of $5 million.
Wow. Great job.
Thanks again to you and your officers for the work during the history.
It was interesting. It was
very interesting. Thank you.
No, I was the decoy actually almost.
I saw you.
And I was doing it at home, like, because the other officers go, no, you're going to be crazy to do it.
So,
how
is
that
reaction?
I was with another council member and we reported the vagrant.
All got crossed in the street.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. All right, under my report, the first is to remove a handicap parking sign at 145 North State Street. This is not something in my mind that requires a vote because in the March 13th, 2012 council meeting, this sign was approved. Thank you. And it specifically says, council agreed to his request with the understanding that the space would be available to anyone with handicap parking status, not solely for Mr. Novotny. If Mr. Novotny leaves the borough, the space will revert to a regular parking space. So, in my mind, at least there's no vote necessary. We can just take the sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any concerns about doing that? The next one is a discussion of issues with dogs in the comment. Not just dogs, but also dogs.
Drunks with dogs. Dogs having water and drinking water.
And we have drunk dogs.
So one of the things that we were considering is putting up signs saying no dogs, but I looked at our ordinances and actually they're already quite clear that no dog is permitted to run at large and they have to be on leashes and that the owner is required to clean up after their dog. So I'm not quite sure that putting up a sign is actually gonna solve a problem, but that's a significant problem. Rumor has it at least that the dog is being let out and it's on its own, like the owner isn't with it.
Is it one particular person, one particular dog?
That's what I've heard, it's hearsay, I don't know.
Sue,
so, yes.
I actually saw the dog.
Did you?
When we were doing planting in the common. The problem is it's a dog in a neighboring yard coming through the split rail fence. So I think one thing that we could do is to put wire fencing on split rail, which will then deter the dog from just coming through and considering it part of his backyard.
Is it our fence?
It is our fence.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do that.
We could do that, yeah.
That is probably going to be expensive and otherwise it's trying to get that owner to put it down.
Yeah, just get some chicken wire. Get it at Home Depot.
A lot of people do come walking their dogs to come. And unfortunately, it is not a sanitary thing to allow your dogs to take care of their business in the creek. It actually adds to things like jargon and all the rest of that we don't want. But I think we have a hard time keeping doing that since it seems to be part of their regular walk. But I don't know if a sign that says, please clean up after your dog is appropriate, or we certainly don't want to put doggy bags there because that will say, oh, we don't mind if you clean up after your dog here. Mm-hmm. But I think we can take care of that neighbor dog for these things.
Okay, thank you.
As far as the dog running at large, that's covered up in the state law also. So we can't tell that.
He comes over, uses the toilet, and then
goes
back.
He was trained that way. Yeah. Notify the neighbor that this their dog is running loose, and there's a state law, and maybe we can get the state law and just have a formal letter as well. Yeah, I recommend not chicken wire, but like the hog wire, the square kind that's a little sturdy. We all know what I mean.
Well, if it's a chihuahua, I can get through that.
Oh, it's not a chihuahua. Oh,
okay.
It's a sizable dog.
Okay.
Which is probably why they're the sizable process.
Maybe it wasn't the dog, maybe it was the guy she found.
So I don't think we're going to put this sign. Do you agree that that's not the solution? That this,
yeah, this, I don't think it's not the
wires.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we know who this property owner is, if we can send them. I'm not trying to call them out here, but if we send a letter, send a letter to me.
You know what? I don't know, Sue, because maybe Ron knows, but I mean, there are a number of tenants in those buildings there. I have no idea which tenant owns the dog.
Okay.
Yeah, perhaps we can craft it for
thank you,
everyone.
Yeah,
we can do the picture.
Yeah.
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 I don't need
okay.
any of that.
Thank you. Mary Ellen, personnel.
I'm sorry. That's good because I shouldn't be there anyhow. But anyhow, those vacancies on committees, commissions, and boards include one on the Historic Architectural Review Board, one on the Human Relations Commission, one on the Joint Historic Commission, one Recreation Board. An application has been received by Thomas Cunningham pending receipt of the resignation. One Recreation Board Secretary application received by Christine Iannucci, and we'll come back to that later. One Shade Tree Commission application received by Thomas Cunningham, and Parking and Signs Ad Hoc Committee.
When you say received by, is it received from?
From. It was received
from.
From us. By him to us.
Yes.
Before we get to the motion, I just, actually, you do this first because it makes sense. Because I had to Tara called me this afternoon looking for clarification. So I just wanted to clarify to everybody in case everyone had the same question Tara did.
About
the rec board. Yeah.
Why are we making the motion tonight to appoint Christine? I'd like to make a motion to appoint Christine Iannucci to the position of rec board secretary at the rate of $19.50 an hour.
Second.
Second.
I move to table that to Tuesday.
Bob, there's a reason, and that is that the rec board has been without a secretary for years. They meet quarterly. Their meeting is tomorrow night.
Oh, I withdraw the motion.
So we'd like to have, that's what we'd like to vote on tonight. And she understands the job description of secretary, that it's a paid position, and what her responsibilities will be.
And if we approve tonight, then she can start,
which is what we're.
Any comments or questions from council? Any comments or questions?
Yes, Mary. Well, actually, I'm backing up about the committee members and how we advertise. I'm sorry, I'm distracting from what you're trying to accomplish. But how do we advertise for members?
I think what we should do is we need to finish our vote, but then
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments?
Are you asking if
Bob,
we
need to vote? We've got a motion on the floor.
I'm distracted.
Any comments or questions? All right. We have a motion to appoint Christina to the position of record secretary in a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
Motion nay? Okay. Motion passes.
And Judy, I will email her tomorrow.
All right. Please talk. Thank you very much.
Of course. Yeah, thank you. So, Mary, I'm
sorry.
Go ahead. How do we
I'm sorry. I was just wondering how do we advertise for vacancies on committees, commissions, councils?
on the website mostly. I don't think there's any other thing that we do, right? And we
talk
about
email.
It in
so you send
it.
Yeah,
so we do advertise in each of the monthly.
Well, there's an email
advertised at that. Right. We do put it in the semi-annual newsletters, the paper newsletters that go to every property in the borough. And we have received some, you know, interest from those in the past. Because when somebody new comes around, you know, I'll try to find that out. And then, yeah, the monthly emails, the paper newsletters that come up twice a year.
The meetings.
The meetings. You know, Jeff gives us good coverage now and then. There's a shout out. And what am I missing, guys?
I mean, current committee members, I always tell the ones I'm liaison to, you know,
you know
anybody,
anyone.
Reach out to them.
Yeah.
Your vacancies are listed on the website.
And vacancies are on the website, absolutely. Yeah. They're always updated. And they're in a couple different places. Like if you go on the website and you look at CAR, you know, you see the vacancy there. And then if you go into general information, it says volunteers needed, and you'll see the listing there too. So we try to get it out there.
I'm sure we do. I'm wondering how many people even go to the website. I'm just thinking if we can come up with some more creative ways of advertising, it would be very, very helpful. I don't know if people look at paper bulletin boards. Do we post anything here? If somebody comes
there is
to
a notice
Borough
that
Hall.
Says if you're interested in volunteering that area.
One of the things we've been looking at. We've been very busy on lots of things. The accessibility to the email notice list that we have. We did an email notice for the cleaning of the streets, but it's a very limited list. So that one of the goals is how do you reach out to the residents
exactly.
to get on that list so that we
right.
can send them out a message within the community. So that's one of our projects going forward. So it's glad you volunteered to look into it.
Right.
but there's different ways to reach people, but since social media seems to be the newest way, and the question is, can we get people to join in on that so we can get information?
Well, I think to Emily's point, it really is word of mouth much of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's actually exclusive to the people moving in because they don't know it.
Right.
All right, thank you. Planning Commission.
So we did discuss the updates to the comprehensive plan, and I did receive some from one council person. So this needs to get wrapped up sooner than later because it's been going on for a while before I've been here. So does anybody else have any other additions or comments to the comprehensive plan? You'll have to say that now, but if you do, please get them to me and we will try to figure out what we need to do. I guess then we need to send the changes to.
I guess I'm just unsure which draft I should be looking
at.
Same answer. So, because the last one we had that we were going to review before the end of this month, then last month you said they weren't ready for us to really look at it yet. So I.
No, we did send it in an email to everybody.
Okay.
What we believe is the latest.
So I believe it is that one, Emily. The thing is that they said that they were going to update it with the space plan information, correct?
Maybe that's what
and a bit more census, but that is the latest version that we have.
Okay.
And I was told to send my feedback to Mary Ellen too, so I can send that to everybody else if everybody wants to take a look at it and say I disagree with this or oh yes, that's right or whatever.
That's the draft dated February 24th.
No, I'm sorry, the draft, yes.
Yeah,
okay. I thought you meant that. Okay. So we sent an email out. And
yeah, on May 4th.
Yes.
Yeah, that. Okay, I'll put that back in the box.
That goes out of the inbox. So then we're not putting this to vote.
We aren't ready to advertise it.
Okay.
Until they finish the episode.
So can we say, you know, within a month? So we already said within a month.
Yeah, put the comments back?
Yes.
Okay, we're not going to advertise until they do their final revisions.
Right.
I think a month is generous because I hope all of us have already looked at it.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody was asked a while ago
yes.
to look at it. So everybody's had that opportunity to give their
feedback.
And we have feedback
from, I know, Warren and Julia, Julia Warren having been on the planning commission, Warren and Julia having been a prior member of council who worked on this, and some of the things that you had submitted have been correct and others have not. And there, you know, some things are like actual mistakes, and other things are just, you know, I would say thoughts, opinions, edited.
Right.
I would like to, since I do it editing and proofreading for a living, I would like to offer my services to proofread the final once they're done, if they would like that.
Right.
So
I think we would like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for anything grammatical or inconsistencies, things like that.
And I'll send you
nothing
the
content
related.
Yeah. Nothing. I won't look at content. I'll look at it purely for grammatical inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But first, yeah. We have to get all of our changes right in one spot.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Right.
And I liked Tara's format. Can we continue to use your format to with any other additions people want to add on to it?
Sure.
Because
I'll send it to everyone.
Send it to everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was a very easy format to understand, and then we can use that to go to push it forward.
Did you send that to everybody?
No,
I was going to send it to Sue, and that was it. So I'll make sure we do want to send it to everybody. Yep. Okay. Send it to everybody. And she, just so you know, just was very useful. All right, thank you. Anything else? Any other announcements? I have one. I think if you remember our last work session, we had Joe Pepper, the owner of Bike Works, here offering a bike rack for Pickering Field. He got in touch with me today and let me know. He did order it the day after our meeting, but because of supply issues, it hasn't come in yet. He does not have an ETA from the company, but he has assured us that as soon as it's in, he will have it available for us to play, for him to place wherever him and the Council of Athletic, whatever they decide.
That's fine.
So it's bought. It's just like everything else now, taking some more time than usual.
Yeah, delivery.
Yeah.
Any other announcements? Public tweaker? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second?
No, I can't make it.
Oh, sorry. I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed, please say nay.
kind of the size of what I had. It was more of a tablet. So, that's
It's not cool. I'm happy to do it.
That's nice.
I can just take your letter and do it.
See,